I know, but as we said last week, 400k people got rid of Cancelo and then he scored 18 points. So, tells you all you need to know about the people that played this game. And they still beat me in the first round.
Wait, was that?
And I said, and they still beat me in the first round. That's the sort of people I lose to in the round of the cup.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of FPL by Dummies, the FPL podcast by dummies for dummies. My name's Tom and with me is my, I think we said last week actually, I'm your assistant now, aren't I? So
yeah, but we've got like a friendly relationship going on, so
I'm like the butler, but the butler who's sort of, I'm a bit like, I guess Batman, then I'll be like Alfred.
Yeah, Jeffrey, we'll go with Jeffrey.
Damn, brilliant. Right. Yeah, my co-host Cam, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, just about recovered, mate. I say that I've kind of got to the point where I'm a bit past caring with fantasy. Obviously it's been a bit of a shit show with fixtures being postponed left, right and centre. I think the worst one for me was the Villa game this week against Burnley, because I had Watkins prime lined up to score at least three and semi-flying up the ranks, but that obviously got called off. What I think what is worse is the timing of these cancellations. Like, what was it, 105, did you say?
Yeah, I think 105.
It came through for a 1:30 kickoff or 2 o'clock, something like that. I just feel for all of those fans. It was in Villa, so I mean, it's not a major trek for down from Burnley, but it is still a fair way. People have probably booked hotels and all sorts. They know the number of COVID cases they've got the night before. They surely could just call it off then.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's I think they actually apologized. I had to come out and apologize because of it's so late notice. But I mean, that doesn't really, I mean, what's that going to do? It doesn't really refund the fans, does it? It's not like they actually decided to pay for anyone to come back. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty stupid. But I mean, I was really happy because, I mean, I was texting you at what, 5:01? And I had my booster jab at 1:30 because I stupidly decided to put my booster jab just before the deadline.
Well, I mean, the deadline was supposed to be in the morning, wasn't it? And they got changed.
I think it's 1:30. And then I think I had my booster jab at, I think it was 10:01. So I was like, oh shit, it's all going to go wrong, isn't it? And then obviously everyone's talking about, oh, game's going to postpone. Some are not, some are. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's all going wrong here, isn't it? So, and then obviously messaged you. About to say, I was fully primed to get Foden and Watkins in. I mean, that was my transfer up until, what, 1:15?
Yeah, I guess we should just get it out of the way and done. I messaged Tom the day before on the Friday saying Foden, Mahrez or Sterling. And he said Foden, absolutely Foden. There's no doubt about it. And the reason I messaged him asking, because I was just had a nagging thing at the back of my mind thinking he's got to be benched and he's going to be benched. And Tom's like, no, Foden, I'm getting Foden in. Don't you worry, mate, he's the guy. And then I messaged him the next day after Mahrez and Sterling come off the, well, Sterling comes off the bench and scores, Mahrez gets a goal and assist. And he's like, yeah, I didn't get Foden in.
I mean, it wasn't my fault. I mean, I was fully primed to get Watkins and Foden in for the game week. And then obviously, but I think the problem was the Burnley game, obviously Burnley Villa game was called off. And so I decided to go. Well, so then I was like, okay, the only other striker I can get in for this week is Lacazette. And if I got in Lacazette, it means I couldn't afford Foden. So I was going to get Gundogan in instead. And then I was like, nah, he's not going to play, is he? So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll get Tomiyasu in instead, which obviously is the jammiest Arsenal player to get in. But
What minute did he go off in again?
62, I think it was.
Fucking hell.
Brilliant. It's actually perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty happy with my score this week. Topped out at 52, had 9 players play. Only Foden and Watkins didn't play, and I only made one transfer this week. Bit disappointing that I didn't go for Mahrez, obviously. I did plan to actually shift Ben Davies on to Marcus Alonso, but I just thought it wasn't, like, short-term, yeah, great pick, but long-term, I'd be shifting him on in another couple of weeks, and with the amount of fixture shuffling around, postponements, all this sort of stuff, I didn't think it was wise to take a hit and just use up a transfer for someone who was going to shift on so quickly. But obviously that would have paid dividends. But yeah, my safety score was like 55, which I was so shocked at. I don't know if loads of people were just playing their free hits in and around me, which meant that they managed to outscore me. But a small red arrow this week, only about 7K. But yeah, as I tweeted earlier, first rounded 2 weeks again on the bounce.
Sorry, what was that? So obviously the main cup you got knocked out of last week.
Yeah.
And then what was it, the England?
The England Cup this week. I'm just actually looking now. I didn't check where the guy... Oh yeah, obviously, ranked 3.5 million. What is my life? I'm ranked at 200K. He's at 3.5 million. And to be fair, he did play his free hit. I want to actually, what was his team like before he played the free hit? Not terrible. He has been playing the game. But yeah, John Seymour has whacked on the free hit this week. And by the looks of it, he brought in Marcel for 6 points. Like, who thinks of that? Martinelli is a fair punt, I think. But yeah, he absolutely smashed me and got 79 points. So yeah, I bowed out of that cup at the first. So the only cup I'm left in is the Liverpool Cup, which I got a bye in the first round
because of the points you got.
The number of players there are. So absolutely muddied in the cups this year. As I said, I'm doing a classic Jurgen. I'm focusing on the league.
You played the under-23s, did you?
Just trotted out the young boys for the cup as a token gesture for the fans. You know, here, Mr. John's got an away day at the mighty. I need a Hierro. Bit of money in the bank, and you know he's had a giant killing. He's through to the next round of the cup, so fair play to him. But yeah, we've got our eyes focused on bigger and better things. So
I muddied you this week, and also so did the cup.
Yeah, basically
beautiful. Well, if it makes you feel better, I got through in the cup again this week.
Is that in the overall one, or is that the England one?
Both. Legend. unfortunately, there's so few people in the Brentford Cup that doesn't start till game week 23. So I've actually got a chance of winning that this year, maybe, because there's only going to be like, me in it, I assume.
Yeah, you've got to buy straight to the final and then they just give you the cup.
Yeah, they're just like, what do you reckon you get if you win like the shit cups from FPL? Do you reckon it's like absolutely trash? Like, I don't know, what would it be?
Well,
little plastic medal you get for like sports day or something.
Or chocolate coins you get for Christmas, given that we're on the run up 5 days
but you
out.
Get, like, but you get the logo of your... You know, Christmas. Sorry, you get the logo of your team on the Christmas chocolate. Yeah, so I get a little bees logo on my Christmas chocolate. That sounds pretty good. So yeah, this game week, I did all right. To be fair, I ended up with I took a hit, but my hit was positive 64 points, -4 for Lacazette and Tomiyasu. I mean, Tomiyasu's so jammy. That was gets injured and then they concede a penalty. I'm not gonna. By the way, it wasn't 62 minutes. It was 61 minutes.
Oh, good lord! Literally.
So happy. Yeah, obviously, I was going to get an Aaron Ramsdale this week, but I thought it was a bit of a stupid hit because it was either 6 points or no points, I thought, for him. So went Tomiyasu, and yeah, absolutely jammiest of jammy clean sheets, which absolutely glorious. Not going to lie, Ramsdale in the mud. Sanchez would have saved that penalty, and we'll move on from that. Red cards? I mean, Liverpool Spurs. Did you watch the game this week?
I was out, unfortunately.
You're all day, aren't you?
The highlights look like, and from everything I've heard, it was an absolute belter of a game. Very eventful at the very least, anyway. So thoughts on the Kane tackle?
Red card.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've only watched the replay a couple of times, like in the highlights video. I didn't super analyze it. It is a bit high. But then equally, I don't know. I can see if the ref gave the thing about the Robbo one for me is if the ref gave the red straight away, then fair enough, we take those ones. But the fact that it was apparently a clear and obvious error for it to be overturned, I don't know that it is clear and obvious. He has gone to wallop him. Let's get it right. Oh, but yeah. I think he's gone to get the ball and just leave one on him, which obviously is naughty and worthy of a card. But I thought a straight red was a bit harsh. But I can't also complain. As I say, he did go to wallop him.
So. Yeah, I think it was a red. But I think Emerson steps across him as well, which makes it look even worse than it was. But yeah. I mean, he puts himself in front of the ball and then he goes through the player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely through the player. Yeah. Have you seen the penalty shouts as well?
No.
I mean, it was a pet. Yeah, I mean, it's a clear. I mean, Dermot Gallagher said on the Sky Ref Talk, and you know, Dermot's never wrong, so.
He does irritate me, that guy. Which way? To Spurs or Liverpool?
So basically, Jota gets pushed over, pretty much just pushed over in the box, and then they didn't even go to VAR, which was. Well, they went to VAR and just didn't look at it, but it just sort of didn't. No one really looked at it at all, which is a bit strange. Dele Alli fully threw himself on the floor as well, so there was two pen shouts, both sides, but.
But I mean, so wait, he threw himself. Was it a pen for Ali then?
Because so Ali shouldn't have had a pen, but Jota should have had a penalty, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, basically, Jota's running on the box and he literally just gets pushed in the back. But I mean, like, it's well, pushed in the back, a bit of a kick as well. I mean, it's fully going on. Where Dele Alli sort of, he gets a hand in the back from Trent, but it's more of a, he puts a hand on his back and then Dele Alli sort of, I mean,
goes down.
Double somersaults, pike dive.
Pirouette.
I mean, 10 out of 10, good effort. But yeah, definitely, I think it was definitely not a penalty for Dele Alli's. But yeah, but I think both should have been red cards. And the best one is in the post-match interview, Harry Kane even has the audacity to go, well, you know, I thought I got the ball. And it's like,
interview, yeah.
Like, are you joking?
The only thing is, though, realistically, he's not going to come out and say, yeah, I should have been red carded. I mean, not that they can do anything about it after the fact, but he's always going to say, yeah, I think he did go. I don't think he had any intention of hurting Robbo. I think he did go for the ball, but the fact is, he was like ankle height, if not higher.
Yeah, I mean, Robbo also like semi jumps, I thought as well. So it's like, well, yeah. If he's got his leg planted there, oh, I wouldn't. That's not nice. Yeah, that could have been bad.
But yeah, the atmosphere did look like it was pumping. And I want to say a congratulations to Man City. No, I'm not going to get too carried away. I think. The league will probably finish in the positions that it is right now.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot.
As a Liverpool fan, I feel that's like dirt. You shouldn't be saying things like that.
Nah, I mean, I like to pride myself on being pretty balanced. Obviously, I want the best for my team, and I am biased at the end of the day. But I do think there's a lot still to change and happen in the course of this season. We're not even halfway. Like next game week is halfway. So, yeah, a lot still could happen, but I think it will finish in this order with City winning it again, Liverpool second and Chelsea third. No idea who's going to be fighting it out for the fourth spot. A real toss-up between Arsenal, West Ham and United. And who knows, you know, Leicester, Spurs, they could put on a run of form towards the end of the season and come back into it. But I think, yeah, City are going to win the league this year.
Fair enough.
They're just so good defense. Like what I mean by good defensively is obviously it was Newcastle who aren't the best of opposition, but they don't have to defend because they just are on the front foot the entire. Like opposition players don't get into their half to have a chance of scoring, and then when you've got people like Cancelo stepping up from right back and smashing balls into the top corner or like outside of the boot, assists like. It's just that there's such a class act. You've got to take it out off to them, I think.
Should have been the pen in that one as well, though, I thought.
Remind me.
Edison,
of which one that was.
Edison fully wiping Fraser. Out Ryan Fraser, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing with that one was that Cancelo had taken the ball and was clear. Obviously, Fraser is stopped from going after Cancelo and putting pressure on him. But he does fully wipe him out. But the only thing I thought was the ball wasn't there to be won.
Like, I mean, like, if you're running along the pitch and you decide just like, you know, take a swing at someone who off the ball.
The thing I think is that Edison bails out of it. So he is sliding, but he's not going for the ball anymore. He's committed to it before Cancelo gets there. Yeah. Cancelo gets there and he just carries on sliding and just happens to go into Fraser. It was clumsy, but I don't know how much of a pen it was. But
I mean, it works for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm a Cancelo owner, so I'm always going to want the clean sheet. But I think, so would you summarise, is it a good game week for you then?
Yeah, really good. I mean, another green arrow, which is positive. I mean, 20k green arrow and I'm at 107k now. So that's, I mean, in terms of percentage, that's pretty tasty. I mean, that's a good old, what, 20-ish percent, just under that?
Yeah, twice.
I mean, I'm happy with it. I mean, you got a nice red arrow, so that's fine for me. It makes me happy. Makes me smile.
Nice.
not bad at all. I mean, especially after taking a hit. And what I actually, as bad as it sounds, the Villa game getting called off last minute really helped because I had by taking a hit, I had nine players playing.
Mm.
And I then therefore still had nine players playing after taking my hit, if that makes sense. Whereas a lot of people obviously went early on the Watkins. I mean, I text Rob, who's obviously been on the podcast before, literally at, I don't know, 5 to midnight the night before, saying like, should I just get Watkins and Foden in now? Because I feel like the games aren't going to be called off. Thank God he did not reply. I was like, I'll just wait.
See, this is the thing. I got mudded and I waited. I literally made my transfers at 20 to 4, but it was just to bring Foden in. So, yeah, fully mudded. But
good. I mean, great. I'm really happy about that.
Fuck off, Tom.
Did you see finally today then, before we move on to the next bit, that Foden and Grealish apparently didn't play because potentially they hired a hooker after the Leeds game?
Fucking hell. that's a good reason.
Wait, I think I put a disclaimer on that. That's full speculation and it's just according to, I think it's like the Daily Mail. So
is that the same sources that have been giving the lineup leaks?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the percentage of truth, and that's probably about 0%.
They definitely had a legitimate injury reason, but we'll go with the news of the world hooker story instead as the reason why they missed the game.
I mean, I think Pep did come out and say that it was to do with behaviour rather than actual injuries. He's come out today and said something like, oh, he chooses people based on behaviour rather than based on it wasn't based on injuries, basically.
This is the thing that I literally brought Foden in for this Newcastle game. I don't actually want him going forwards. And that might sound ridiculous, but I wanted to have Rashford for United's upcoming fixtures. But I thought, you know, I'll capitalise on the fact that Rashford isn't going to play this week and have someone who is and someone who most likely will haul, and then Foden doesn't even play. So
it's fine, mate. Yeah. I had Bernardo Silva to fuck all as well. So
yeah, likewise, but. All he did was get yellow carded, but then his clean sheet point made up for that. So,
yeah, to be fair, yeah. two points this week is positive, I think, isn't it? So
well, exactly. I was gonna. I don't know. I had the foundations of a joke that I really wanted to tweet, but I didn't think it would go down, or it just wouldn't work. But basically, obviously, Kane's been renowned for his two pointers this year, and obviously, the Spurs Liverpool game finished 2-2. So I felt like there was a joke in there to be made, but I couldn't quite pull it together.
But oh yeah, creative juices really flowing there then, right?
Yeah,
perfect.
Well, I mean, on that plum bombshell, we'll move on to the Stogmare Avoid.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to us before, Stogmare Avoid is basically a segment we do. So me and Cam recommend a player that we want to snog, which is like a short-term pick, someone that we like the look of. I mean, now Amari, who's like a long-term pick, someone that we think you could have for sort of a long while. This maybe, I think we usually say about, what, over 5 or 6 game weeks? It's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, a couple of months going on towards like the whole season.
Yeah. And then avoid someone who we just don't like, who either everyone's getting in who we don't agree with or looks a bit shit or generally just don't really like them very much.
Or any of the above.
Or any of the above. Or all three.
Any and or all.
Any and all. So yeah, would you like to start with your snog this week?
Yeah, this is kind of a very context-based one, but I think it would be remiss not to... Well, actually, this is caveated by the fact that most people are tripled up on Liverpool at the minute. But in view of Robbo's red card, he's obviously going to be out for the next 3 games, which, again, I was surprised that I thought that had to be like serious foul play or dangerous play to get 3 games. But he's going to be out for the next...
You mean serious foul play, like absolutely wiping him out?
Well, like leg-breaking sort of challenges, not just like shit-house behaviour.
Nah, but, straight red.
But yeah, so he's out for 3 games, not 1, which means, I think, if you haven't got Jota, which a good proportion of the game don't, then Tsimikas could be a good shout for bench filler, but obviously he's going to have Leeds at home in the next game, Leicester away and Chelsea away, which are tough games, but we saw earlier in the season when he had a run of games in the team that he does have the similar sort of attacking threat as Robbo does, and Trent kind of in the mould of the Liverpool attacking wingback. So for 3.7, like, why not? As I say, he can then sit as bench filler if you don't fancy getting in the likes of Jota. Or he can just be a quick fix in the meantime. But yeah, he's guaranteed to start, basically. A good chance of a clean sheet against Leeds, and then good potential of attacking returns in the 2 games after that. So this could be mainly for wildcard, or, you know, let's say some more fixtures get postponed and you're looking to play a free hit to have a full playing team. then I think Tsimikas could be a good short-term punt.
I mean, I was going to say I don't like it, but then it's like 3.7 million. So,
yeah.
I mean, how has he got to 3.7? I mean, he obviously went up really high ownership and then a lot of people have sold him, but...
Yeah, but that's 3.7. It must have been like, obviously, he got up to like 4.3 maybe, having started at 4 mil.
Is he the lowest... He's literally the lowest priced defender in the game.
Yeah, it's because like the likes of, I don't know, take Daniel Amati, I don't have his price right in front of me, and also kind of the rankings of the lowest price defenders. But someone like him, not many people are going to own him in the first place, and not many people are therefore going to be able to transfer him out to cause his price to drop. Whereas Tsimikas obviously got to a decent percentage of people in the game owning him, and then over the course of the past 18 game weeks has been transferred out at a steady rate, which has caused his price to drop 0.6, 0.7, whatever it's been now. So I was quite surprised that he's quite so cheap. But yeah, for 3.7, that's an absolute steal, isn't it? Like, if you're on triple Liverpool, I wouldn't drop Jota for Tsimikas. But if you have the capacity to move and get another Liverpool player in, as I say, either free hit, wildcard, or just a transfer, then why not?
Yeah, I think, yeah, my only reason I don't like it is because I've got triple Liverpool at the moment, I'm on Jota. Yeah. And I think, to be honest, if I didn't have either one of them, I think I'd rather go for Jota than, I guess, Bobby's back as well now.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, for three, it's obviously a very context-based pick, because some people might not have the funds to move from a midfielder to Jota. I know Jota doesn't break the bank, he's only 8.1 now. But, I don't know, let's say you've got Ronaldo up top and just, yeah, funds tied up elsewhere, and you can't quite shift one of your lower-priced midfielders to Jota, and you don't want to sacrifice some of your higher-priced midfielders, then getting in another Liverpool asset in the form of Tsimikas could be a worthwhile punt.
Yeah, no, don't hate it. Don't hate it. I don't like it either, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, we know you're a prick, so that's fine.
That's true. Very true. So my snog this week is going to be Hyunmin Song. Missed a couple of sitters, I think, last night. But his fixtures for the next few games. I mean, they actually looked really good, Spurs, yesterday. Not to take away too much from Liverpool. They weren't good. Defensively looked awful. But, I mean, Spurs actually looked like a half-decent little team yesterday. I mean, Dele Alli actually looked half-decent, which I never thought I'd say again.
Well, they faked all of their Rona cases so they could have time on the training pitch. That's what's
happened, isn't it? Oh, there's going to be so many nipples. Yeah, they actually did really good. I mean, Ali missed a sitter, Son missed a sitter, Kane missed, I mean, I don't know how many sitters, but they actually really, really good. And I think a lot of people obviously sat on Son previously before everything's happened. The next games are Crystal Palace, Southampton, Watford and Arsenal. But I think they've now confirmed that the FA Cup third round, fourth rounds won't be having replays. And so they've pretty much, the mite that is Ben Crellin, if you don't follow him on Twitter. I mean, if you don't follow him on Twitter and you are on Twitter, then...
What are you doing?
The man's an absolute god. He's pretty much confirmed there's going to be a double game week in 22. Spurs will be one of those with a double game week. So Son, I think all our picks this week are really caveated with the fact that no one knows what's going to happen with anything over the next few weeks, are we? But I mean, they've got Palace, Southampton, Watford, and then double game, which would be Arsenal. And so I assume it'll be, well, they've got Burnley, Brighton, or Leicester as one of the others to play. But I mean, a double game week, including Son, is probably not a horrible place to be, is it?
No. I mean, so, even when he has, like, well, they had a lot of chances, as you said yesterday, but what his actual goal came from was just, you know, not good play. I don't know, he put Alisson under pressure, didn't he? But it wasn't, as I say, a sublime piece of play that got him through on goal and then a great finish. Like, he just rolled the ball into an empty net.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I mean, is that he's got that dual threat, if you know what I mean. Like, he can score good goals, but he's also in the right place at the right time. I'm pretty sure last year when Josh was ranting about owning Son and, like, him being shit, I think he scored against Liverpool away. And, yeah, it was within, like, the first 5 minutes. He just has that potential, so...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he didn't. I don't think he had the best game in the world yesterday and still scored. So I think that really sums it up, because he just seems to, every so often, just goes on that little run of form and scores lots of goals. And it's frustrating when you don't own him. To be honest, it's probably frustrating when you do own him. So yeah, I'm going to go Son as my snog this week.
What's their fixture run actually like? I know you mentioned
it's nice, yeah.
Double, but
Palace 19, Southampton, Watford.
So they could have a double up of Southampton and Brighton, let's say.
No, it'll be 22. 22 is the Arsenal with either Burnley, Brighton, or Leicester.
Arsenal, though, so that's horrible.
That should be good, definitely. So yeah, good old Sonny.
Nice.
How about a Mary? How about the long term pick?
My Mary to a company, well, presumably everyone already owns Cancelo, so that's just a given. But to accompany him, I think we need to start thinking about having a Man City double up. Everyone has had the Chelsea double up previously. James and Chilwell, when Chilwell got injured, now it's been James and Alonso, or potentially Thiago Silva, Rudiger. But Chelsea's fixtures start to turn now, and they also, in terms of being difficult, but then they also have the blank of the Club World Cup in February. Whereas on the other side, City's fixtures are really, really nice. They do have two tough games in a row against Arsenal, Chelsea, but we know they can rock up against both those teams, keep a clean sheet and score six goals. So I think outside of that, they're just like a sea of green in their fixtures as well. After those two games, they have Southampton, Brentford and Norwich in a row. And so, yeah, I'll cut to the chase. The guy to accompany Cancelo is Ruben Dias.
Ruben Dias for the non-Portuguese speaking.
My flawless Portuguese pronunciation. but yeah, he's 6.1 priced. He is quite highly owned at 26.3%. But as I say, with those fixtures and the fact that outside of one, two, three games, he's been ever present for City this year. Four, including the Newcastle game last time out. But as I've just mentioned in the monologue, well, not monologue, the waffle that Tom and I had at the start, City are a defensive colossus. They just keep clean sheets. And then you throw in on top of that, their set piece potential. I don't know how, well, Ruben Dias is quite tall, but they're not renowned for their height and attacking threat from corners. But he and John Stones seem to pick up goals each year. So I think, yeah, with those run of games, his kind of rotation proof to Pep's roulette, I think, yeah, you've got to have Ruben Dias as your accompaniment to Cancelo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree. I'm going to be probably moving him in for Alonso pretty soon when obviously fixtures are turning for Chelsea. Then they've got the Club World Cup, like you said. So yeah, Ruben Dias will probably be coming in for me as well. I mean, from a price point of view, I'm interested in seeing Laporte because I think, he's played the last four games and he's played all four. Obviously, Stones came on for Dias on the weekend, but it just seems Laporte is playing a lot more at the moment. So, I mean, for to save yourself 0.6, but for not so nailed, I don't know whether it's worth it or not. Probably not, actually. I probably will go Ruben Dias with yourself.
Yeah, it's difficult because I think I'd prefer to go for a mid-priced option similar to what Alonso's at the minute and Thiago Silva. But those sorts of players for City are just so rotation-prone. Like, I think the one that I would like most is Kyle Walker because up until recently, he was ever-present. But did he have a slight niggle and then...
No, it's... something... No, I like to go...
Oh, Was it because he got sent off in the Champions League and then...
No. I'm pretty sure, and I mean, it's to put a bit of a darker on it, but I mean, I think he was ill for the first two games, and I think it was like a personal friend or something died, and then it was like, there's quite a few things that have happened sort of to him. But yeah, I think Kyle Walker's a good shout as well. I'm pretty sure he'll come back into the team.
Yeah, so. He will at some point. And so at that point, I might be more tempted by him. But as I say, given the fact that Dias is more nailed to start and play the full 90 each week and therefore benefit from their clean sheets as and when they come in, I think he's the guy to go for.
Yeah. And I think like you said, obviously, if you know Ruben Dias is owned by 26% and Cancelo is owned by 36%, but obviously there's not going to be as many who are obviously owning both. So if you own both and they do both get a clean sheet, you will get a good gain on that. I mean, it's like double check. I mean, if you go double on any of the defenses and they keep a clean sheet, you get good rank gain from it usually.
Yeah.
Even when you've got like Trent at 99% and Cancelo at like, I think it was like 89% this week on effective ownership, which is joyous fucking effective ownership. I'll go on to my marry this week. I mean, someone who I also got out as well, and so therefore I'm just gonna accept that I made a mistake. Removing Rafinha from my team was an absolute mistake. I mean,
yeah.
Last three games, two goals against Chelsea and against Arsenal. I mean, against Arsenal, maybe not so surprising, but I mean, they've also been really good recently.
He shithoused the one against Arsenal because it was a pen that was... I mean, it was a pen, but it was just stupid from Ben White to dive in like that.
I mean, he took it very well, though.
He did. It was a quality pen, don't get me wrong. But what I mean is, if all things being normal, he wouldn't have scored that game outside of the penalty, which obviously he didn't. But yeah, I'm the same as you in that I got rid of him 3 or 4 weeks ago and he's scored 2 or 3 goals since that. So
yeah. I think the thing is, it's like there's obviously loads of mid-priced midfielders this year, and obviously Leeds are playing really badly at the moment. I mean, they looked absolutely tragic against Arsenal on the week. They've obviously got Liverpool up next, but then the run's not actually awful. And Rafinha's one of those players that he is just the best player in that team. I mean, talk about talisman theory. I mean, Christ, he's literally ridiculous. I mean, they got Villa at home on 20, Burnley in 21, West Ham who've not been great recently. I mean, they've conceded a lot more recently. And then 23, Newcastle. I don't know if Rafinha will have a chance of being... I don't know if there's any thought... No, but they've not missed any games yet, so I doubt there'll be a double game week for them in 22. There won't be. But yeah, I mean, it's not an awful run. The only issue, obviously, is there's so many good mid-price midfielders at the moment that I just don't know who... I don't know if he's worth the 6.6 over someone like Smith Rowe or... Conor Gallagher, Brian Mbeumo, what a legend. If they finally get a game again, Brentford. So I think Rafinha is a good... I mean, if he's in your team, don't get rid of him. I think Leeds have not looked very good, but he still looked really good when he's played. And apparently, if Patrick Bamford's out, he's still on penalties. So,
well, if he takes them anyway, like he did that one on the week, then he should be on them going forward. So.
Oh, yeah. It was a ridiculously good penalty. So, yeah,
I think the phrase is top banjo. Top bracket.
I mean, Sanchez would have saved it. I mean, Ramsdale's just shit, isn't he? So
Sanchez is clear.
I mean, he's the GOAT, isn't he? So as I sit here depressingly still owning Sanchez and not Ramsdale. avoids, my favourite part. Who's your avoid this week?
My avoid is, well, I've just talked about the Chelsea double up. I think it would be either of James or Alonso. But I'm going to say James because he is the most, well, he's more highly transferred in this week. I assume people are getting rid of Alonso. But I think, as we've said, Chelsea's fixtures are about to turn. He obviously still poses that attacking threat, but I think the main thing is that blank in game weeks 24, 25. Obviously, Chelsea are going to have, well, they've already got two postponed games, Brighton and Arsenal, to make up for, which will potentially, as you say, come in at game week 22. And then they'll have the two games. Oh, no, sorry. I'm making that up. Those two games are from game weeks 24 and 25. So they'll have to make them up at some point after. And so it may be worth getting him in from mid to late February onwards when they have a run of green. And yeah, they've got two double game weeks thrown in there somewhere. But I think in the meantime, I would be switching, as I say, James to Ruben Dias, for example, or, you know, maybe dropping down to a Tierney or a Tomiyasu, freeing up some funds to bring in a better price or, you know, more productive midfielder or striker. I mean, there aren't any high value strikers this year, so probably just a midfielder. But, well, who knows? Kane's now on the goal trail, so he might be back in it. But yeah, I just think... Sorry?
That's a don't be silly.
Yeah, he's going to be back to 2-2-2 next week. So... I just think, yeah, with those fixtures, if you're looking to steal a march on people and gain rank, then, yeah, bin off James, get in someone cheaper, or as I say, make the sideways step to a City defender and use that cash elsewhere and or capitalise on the points elsewhere. So, yeah, I would say avoid Reece James.
Yeah, I think I do agree with you, actually. I was going to say, like, that's a bit silly. I mean, he's been so
I mean, I did mean to include that is off the back of him scoring 14 points in his past two games. a goal and bonus points against Everton. A goal, an assist and bonus points against Everton, and then just a clean sheet against Wolves. So he has recovered from the three blanks that he had before that. But when we look at his returns of 12, 7, 21, 13, etc. from earlier this season, he isn't in that form anymore. And Chelsea aren't looking as good either. So, yeah, that's the reason why I say it.
Yeah, I mean, they've run what Villa, Brighton, Liverpool, Man City, Tottenham, and then Club World Cup for 2 weeks. So it's not looking great. I mean, it's not awful. I mean, there's a definite chance that Chelsea can win those games. I mean, it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, they will probably win what Villa, Brighton, probably Tottenham. Liverpool will be an interesting game.
I mean, I don't know that you say that. They've got a good record against Brighton and they are at home against them. But they go away to Villa, who Gerrard's got them really well organised and playing well attacking-wise. As we just said, lots of people are moving to Ollie Watkins. We moved to him. Well, no, you haven't just yet. I got him in a few weeks ago. But yeah, they pose a real attacking threat. So Villa could score against them. As I said, obviously Chelsea still are a threat going forward, so he can provide attacking routes with assists and goals. But I don't think any of those teams coming up are mugs. And then, as I say, he has those two blanks afterwards. So I think for an asset at that sort of price who isn't delivering the sort of returns you'd expect from an asset at that price, then that's kind of the motivation for saying move him on. But
yeah, no. I can't disagree with you. I mean, I'd love to disagree with you, as you know, I love hating you. So, yeah, no, fair enough. I will go on to my avoid. I talked about it last week, but I think with everything that happened this week, I feel like it would be amiss to say it, not say it again. My avoid this week is making early transfers. A bit of a, not really a player. A massive cop-out, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I said it last week, I didn't make early transfer. I sat at 1:05 and then really benefited, although I lost 0.3 of a million on Tony, Vardy, and someone else. I mean, I lost a lot of money but actually had playing players. So I saw a lot of people bringing in Watkins this week, which made sense. I mean, that wasn't a stupid transfer, but then the game got called off. So, I mean, a lot of people made early transfers. And so I think with the point of the game, and especially with everything going on, just sit on it, just wait. I mean, it's not, I mean, obviously not everyone can do that. I mean, you know, people do actually have jobs and lives and actually have to get on with doing things.
As well put by FPL Lallana earlier this week.
I did see that. That was so funny. Yeah, that was an absolute cracker. But yeah, I mean, if you can wait, and if you can wait right up until the deadline, I think just do it, because it's not going to get any better quickly. I think we're going to see more postponements potentially next week. I don't know who's in doubt at the moment. I know that Chelsea said that, well, Tuchel came out and said that basically he's pretty much, he doesn't really give a shit about the Carabao Cup pretty much this Tuesday against Brentford. I mean, I'm pretty happy for us to go straight through to the semi-finals. That works for me. If he doesn't want to play
it'll be the equivalent of me playing John Seymour again.
I mean, if he wants to chicken out at playing Brentford, I mean, that's absolutely, I know we absolutely destroyed them for 45 minutes in the second half.
That is his real motivation. It's not COVID.
It's not COVID related. It's the fear of playing Brentford again.
Which is totally understandable.
I mean, it's best team in the league, so.
In the world.
In the world. Well,
Club World Cup next year. I'm being serious.
Oh, beautiful. I think avoid making any transfers if you can. I mean, I don't think it's even worth, I mean, if you miss out on a player, like I missed out this week by waiting, I wouldn't been able to afford to do Foden and Watkins, which ended up working out well for me. But by waiting, I didn't have enough money to do that move. Which I know out of pure luck has helped me, but I think I'd rather have gone to a different place than obviously what's happened is obviously Watkins not playing at all. So that is my actual advice for the week. I mean, we're usually just two dummies chatting shit, but I mean, that's actual advice.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way we should caveat it now is that wait as long as you can. Obviously, as we say, that there's real world things that influence how and when you can make transfers. So if you've got a job, then and your break is at 11:30 a.m. and the deadline's not till 3:00, but you don't get off work until 4:00, then make the transfers then. But I wouldn't make my transfers as soon as the final game week finishes or when it starts. So as soon as it ticks over 11 a.m. and you can make your transfers for game week 19 now, let's say, I wouldn't be doing that. But yeah, just to kind of touch on what Phil said, I think he is fair in terms of saying, you know, it is a game. Realistically, it doesn't matter. But then in the same way that football is just a game, but lots of people's livelihoods now rest on it because, you know, it's become what it's become. Like, fantasy does matter in that regard. But I think all he was trying to say, but, you know, you've only got 140 characters to say it in, was just that it's not the be-all and end-all, which I think is a fair point.
I mean, in short, what he basically said, 140 characters was telling that other bloke to fuck off, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, because and the thing is, I think with that bloke, if we're trying to be nice to him, he was probably thinking from the point of view of people who do sit there and analyse the game and have all the time in the world to make their transfers and go early. He probably wasn't thinking about the normal bloke and or woman. But yeah, I just think it is a game at the end of the day, which is why I've kind of chilled out of late, because I'm just like, why am I going to stress over something that to me doesn't materially make any difference? It might to other people, but for me...
You mean like to me, where I've got nothing else better going on in my life?
Yeah, a total loser like Tom.
Exactly. And yeah, and that is it's not wearing void for the week. Yeah, and so we'll move on to the next bit. Would you rather? I mean it's my favorite segment, we've not done it in weeks, so I've been missing it. So would you rather, I mean, if you've not listened to us before, which I'm assuming most people haven't, because it's usually just me and my mum that sit there listening to it on repeat, so we get the listener numbers up. If you haven't listened to sport, would you rather is literally what it says on the tin. I'll give a couple of options to Cam, and he has to quick fire back to me who he thinks he'd rather have, obviously in FPL wise. And yeah, I think that's, I mean, I can't really explain it better than that, can I? So
yeah,
he hasn't heard these before.
Yeah, so I'll be both surprised and impressed in equal measure by Tom's stupidity.
Surprised and disappointed in my poor picks. Well, the first one I think is a bit on topic. So would you rather have Emil Smith Rowe or Martinelli?
Smith Rowe. He's more expensive. Obviously, Martinelli is in an inspiring vein of form. But I think Smith Rowe... Well, I don't know. That is a difficult one, because I think Martinelli 2 seasons ago, obviously, he probably would be in Smith Rowe's position had he not had that big injury that he had. You know, when he first came into the game at 4.5, scored that unbelievable goal against Chelsea, but was also scoring goals outside of that, he would probably be, you know, playing as well as Smith Rowe is and first name on the team sheet. He's obviously had to come back in and work his way back in following that injury. But I think, yeah, Smith Rowe, he's proved his quality coming off the bench the past couple of games and scoring, albeit against weakened teams and in the final 10 minutes where they're knackered. But I think he is star quality. And having been himself getting over injury recently, I think he's going to come back into the team sooner rather than later. I think ultimately they're both going to be playing. As you said, I think Odegaard's going to end up dropping out. Was it you who I was talking to about Odegaard being lazy? Or was it someone else?
No, but I do want to hear why you think he's lazy.
No. I was talking to someone and they said that they'd been to watch Arsenal live and Odegaard was one of the laziest players they've seen since Mesut Ozil in terms of he doesn't run. And so they've kind of been surprised that he's still getting game time under Arteta, who's someone like Pep, well, obviously having trained under Pep Guardiola, likes his players to cover lots of ground. So it will be interesting to see if he continues to keep his place. I've not been able to sit and watch Arsenal too much, so I don't really know about that. But
well, so if Martinelli was to keep his place, I mean, it's this wave the magic, apparently we're now in the know for Arsenal, and Martinelli keeps his place. Would you have Martinelli or Smith Rowe, would you say? I mean, bear in mind, Martinelli's what, 0.8 cheaper at the moment? And he's looking pretty ridiculous as well.
In my current situation, I don't think I've got the means to make a sideways switch like that. Obviously, it would be nice.
I mean, but if you had neither and you were getting one in.
Oh, if I had neither and was getting one in, then I'd get Martinelli because he's 0.8 cheaper, as you say. So if we're looking for points efficiency here, you want to have someone in, like, I think they'll both be just as productive if they're given the same amount of minutes. But I think, as I say, Smith Rowe is more established at this point. He's only had a small groin injury that's kept him on the sidelines for a week or two. So as and when he's back up to match fitness, he'll come back in straight away. But if I had neither and was starting from scratch or wildcarding or something like that, then I'd bring in Martinelli.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But I personally have Smith Rowe. And so I, as I say, to me, that would just be a sideways switch that I don't think would be too productive. Depends what else you want. I would want to do with my team, but
it's always worth noting that if you haven't listened to us before, then the reason I do Would You Rather is because it's usually struggles I'm having with my own team. So I'm currently on neither.
Tom's and then a selfish bastard and just wants advice for his own team.
So literally just use Cam's advice to basically decide my team for me. So brilliant, thanks Cam. Appreciate that one.
You're welcome.
Right, the next one is Would You Rather. I mean, so you can only have one of them. So the answer is both. But if you could only have one, who would you rather have, Cancelo or Trent?
Oh, no, that is a tough one.
I mean, it's meant to be quick fire, but okay.
Trent. I think I like Cancelo as a I don't like him as a player more. The silkier one is Cancelo. But Trent of late has obviously stepped up his goal returns. He's obviously scored one against West Ham, an absolute scorcher against Newcastle. His assist production has been through the roof this season, back to his normal levels. Obviously, he is way, way, way more expensive. You know, he had a price rise today or yesterday that's seen him go up to 8.3 now. Whereas Cancelo...
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, he's 8.3.
Oh, fucking hell.
Cancelo, I think, is 6.8. I think I've got him in at 6.6
because
I got him in earlier. So that's, you know, 1.5 that you're saving on Cancelo. But I like to think I'm balanced, but Trent's my boy, so I've got to back him. He is world class, but so is Cancelo. But I think, being balanced, City, I think, have better clean sheet potential than Liverpool do. But Trent's kind of productivity of late has just been ridiculous. You know, another game yesterday where he picks up an assist and bonus points, albeit he only got bonus because Robbo got sent off, but he was still there. I would say Trent out of those two if I could only have one.
Fair enough. No, I think I'd rather go Cancelo if I was going for one of them.
Also, I'll caveat it by saying Liverpool have fewer attacking options than I would want. So if I could only have one, then I would.
Sorry,
have...
wait. Liverpool would have less attacking options that you'd want.
In terms of, I would like you could pick Bernardo, Gundo, Mahrez, Foden as your midfield option. So if
you're only going to pick Salah and Jota, aren't you?
No, but what I'm saying is like I would have Salah, and then that can give me three City midfielders, and like I could have Jesus up front if I wanted to as well. Whereas if I take Cancelo in defence, then that takes away an attacking asset for City.
Okay.
Why do you look you only need Salah. Like, Salah is the only guy that scores goals for Liverpool, so you only need him. Like,
what do you mean, Jota's? I think he's the second top scorer now in the league. After
who's the top scorer?
Yeah, Salah, so you have both
of them. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the next one.
Well, you'd have Cancelo.
I'd rather have Cancelo than Trent, yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, if I had to pick one of them.
We'll agree to disagree.
I mean, from a points point of view, I mean, we're talking money as well. I mean, he's cheaper. I think they've got a better, like you said, a better clean sheet potential. And I mean, did you see his goal yesterday? Absolute swaz.
As I said, I've got to back my boy.
He's got the most, is it the most shots in the Premier League this year? I mean, maybe as just a defender. But I mean, there's a ridiculous stat from him of the amount of shots he's taken. Although I think it's like, he's had 30, I think yesterday they were talking, he's had 38 shots this year. And that's his first goal.
What, Cancelo? That's mental, yeah. He's, Trent has outscored him by 17 points, so Trent's clear. That's what I've got to say.
Right, okay. Fine. Fine. Final one then. I've done midfielders, I've done defenders, so the final would you rather, just because I had to really, attackers, would you rather have Watkins or Antonio?
Watkins, every day of the week. Move on.
Okay.
No, in all seriousness, I think I would have Watkins over Antonio. I saw some stat a few weeks ago now talking about since game week 6, I think it was, up until game week 16, like Antonio is way, way down in terms of total point scores. Like where is he now? He is, he's dropped right off now in terms of top point scores. He's got 75 points overall, but when you think he was at like 40 points after 4 game weeks, like, he has dropped right off. So he's literally got 30 points in the past 10, 11, 12 game weeks. Whereas Watkins, I think, is just about to begin his rise. Obviously, he got that goal and assist. What a beautiful assist it was against Norwich as well, for 12 points before the postponement of last week. But as I say, I think he's about to kind of kick off Watkins, whereas Antonio, not so much. He's just been really underwhelming.
Bowen, he did also get a lovely assist, though.
What, to what's his face? Masuaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, Watkins was a sideways pass. Antonio's was a backwards pass, so it was worse. But
I guess it's like the classic like form over fixtures, really. I mean, I don't think Watkins has bad fixtures either, but I mean, Antonio does have really, really good fixtures, and it's just, do you think West Ham are going to? I thought because they were similar prices. I mean, Antonio's actually cheaper than Watkins now, which is, I mean, what was he, 8.1 at one point?
Who, Antonio? But, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we get like next four games, like Villa have got Chelsea, Leeds, Brentford, Man United, so they're playing three of the four. Best three out of the three teams, obviously incredibly hard. They're Chelsea, Man United, and of course, best team in the league, Brentford. And then obviously Antonio's got Southampton, Watford, Crystal Palace, Leeds. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. West Ham have the fixtures, but West Ham have had fixtures for a good few weeks and Antonio's still blanked. I think I'd much prefer to have Bowen. If I was only allowed one West Ham, I'd have Bowen rather than Antonio. And if I could only have one striker, I'd have Watkins over Antonio too. So,
1 second, then let me just jot that down. So my team for next week is Martinelli and Watkins. Perfect. That's my -4 for next week. Beautiful.
Well, knowing you, next week we'll get to the game week deadline, and you'll have all of a sudden changed and brought someone else in and somehow snaked 15 points. And I've all right, two.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I told you to get Foden in, and I'm sorry you decided to follow my stupid logic. That's your own bloody fault. About to say, just because you got Foden in, I told you to get Foden in, I told you I was getting Foden in, then I didn't get Foden in, that's not my fault, is it?
No, absolutely not your fault. Nothing to do with you whatsoever.
No, absolutely. I mean, so yeah, so that is Would You Rather for the week. I mean, that pretty much sums up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we can take a quick look at the league and just see what's occurring, but...
Yeah, I mean, so have we decided that's going to be the price for this? So we, if you want to join the FPL Dummies podcast league, the code is UEVAGU. I mean, when we release the podcast on later on, it'll be in there as well. So you can obviously click the link on that one. Have we decided that's going to be the prize?
Shall we keep it a secret until the end of the season?
Okay, yeah, we've actually decided on a prize for the podcast league this year. So, I mean, it's an absolute cracker. I mean, it's the funniest thing I've seen in such a long time. Maybe absolutely.
Well, it's the most lucrative as well. Like, forget two games, all hospitality included, that you win for winning the game out overall. This is the prize that you want to be winning.
I mean, probably not, but I mean, it's funny, so it made me laugh anyway. So, come and join the league. And I think that really sums up. I mean, if you're listening to us on Space, we're going to do a quick Q&A afterwards. I mean, if you guys want to get involved. If you're not listening to us on Spaces and you're just listening to us on a normal recording, then you can't join us for a Q&A afterwards. That's pretty obvious, I guess. Thank you for listening this week. You can come and follow me and Cam. Cam is FPL Dummy Cameron. I'm FPL Dummy Tom, and the podcast is FPL by Dummies. And we'll be. Is there anything else I've missed?
No, mate. You've done a sterling job as always.
I usually get to this point, I just forget what we're saying, and then.
Well, you forgot to say that's all we've got time for.
Sorry. And the
immortal words of our. That is all we've got time for. But.
Oh yeah, and on more words of our old podcast and host Josh, that is all we've got time for. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back again next week to fill your ear holes.
See ya.
Bye.